Amen. Turn to someone next to you and say, God is in this place. God is moving. God is good. Amen. I want you to remember the things you shared just now. Who shared the prayer needs when we talked about the 40-day challenge? Did you guys share the prayer needs with each other? Anyone missed out? Okay, we're going to pray for each other after the service tonight. I really feel we're going to pray for each other, and we're going to pray for the Angus event as well. We're going to pray for some lost people, some people that need to be there. Okay, really by name. We need to do this by faith. Okay, so keep those prayer needs that you have. And then you share it. So I want you guys to grab a partner, okay? Has everyone got a partner here? Okay, guys on guys, girls on girls, okay? Unless you're in a relationship, okay? This is not an outreach opportunity to another a lady or a guy, okay? So just, I want you to get a partner, all of us. New people here, if you're visiting us tonight, I want you to just find someone. If you can go with a friend you came with, or just find someone. Okay, I want us to pray in groups of two this evening, amen? Are you ready for that? Okay, at the end of the service, because I really believe God wants to set some people free here tonight. I really believe He wants to set us free, that we can go and preach that same freedom to other people. Amen? Because we've had an encounter with God already. God has spoken to us. God is faithful. So God really wants to touch our lives this evening. Are you excited for the Word? Let's just pray. Father, thank You for Your Word tonight, Lord. We thank You that Your Word challenges us, God. There's so much other stuff, Lord, that is telling us what to do and what not to do. But tonight we come and align ourselves, Lord, with Your Word. And we're so excited, Lord, because Your Word changes us, Lord. Your Word says that Your Word is like a two-edged sword, a sharp two-edged sword, Lord. It cuts between bone and marrow, between soul and spirit. And we want to tonight, Lord, be challenged by Your Word, Lord. Not by emotions, Lord, not by feelings, but even as we heard earlier, Lord, that it's only Your Word that can really change us and conform us to Your image. And so tonight we submit to Your Word, Lord. We're so hungry tonight, Lord, for Your Word. We're thirsty, God. I just sense there's a hunger and a thirst in this place, Lord, for You and for Your Word, Lord. And so we're desperate tonight. I pray that You would speak to each one of us, Lord, by Your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome You as the teacher, as the comforter, the one who guides us and leads us into all truth. And Lord, may our lives change tonight as we walk out of here, Lord, that we can have a revelation of Your goodness, Your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Just want to start with a story. When I was at school, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I was 15 years old, grade 9 these days, standard 7 back in the day. And something amazing happened. When I gave my life to Jesus, the spirit realm seemed to be shaken, because suddenly I was like just this outcast for some other reason. Like, not an outcast as in hectically, you know, but for some other reason, people started to find nicknames for me. People started to try to make life very difficult for me at school. It was just weird. And at the time, I never knew it. But when I was thinking back, it was like this happened soon after I committed my life to Christ. And no one knew I committed my life to Christ. I didn't tell everyone, you know, I wish I was spirit-filled at the time to just witness about what Christ did in my life. But I knew I made a commitment from darkness into light. I knew that my life was changed. And for some other reason, guys would find names to call me, and yeah, I was quite a serious guy. And the worst you can do when people start to joke with you and tease you, the worst you can do is be even more serious, okay? Because that's like playing into their hands, you know. And so I was called all sorts of names, and like I was thinking like, you know, what have I done wrong? Like, what, you know? It was weird for me. It wasn't a nice time for me. But that's the closest for me to come to what I call persecution. Okay, it was really not like real persecution like some people in China and these places receive, you know. But I really believed that there was a certain measure of a persecution for my faith, because I had made a commitment to Jesus Christ that I couldn't use the F word. You know, everyone was saying the F word, so I used to say flip instead of the other F word that all the boys, you know, I was at a boys only school, and so, you know, people would use the F word and the S word. It was just flying around. I just could not swear. It was like God put a guard in front of my mouth. And people thought I was weird that I didn't swear, and I was living this focused life. I was very focused. I wanted to achieve, and I just, you know, I ended up getting 3 colors awards for cross country athletics and for academics. And so I was very focused at school. Nothing could shake me. But I realized that there was this stuff coming against me. And so it was a difficult time in my life. It was really a difficult time. But I rejoiced in the fact that I'm making a stand for truth. I'm making a stand for just a life focused on God and on doing my best and not on getting involved in all this stuff. But there was a price to pay for it because I wasn't the most popular. I wasn't with the in crowd at all. And I was actually quite happy with it. Although at times, you know, I wished I was just one of the guys, you know. And so it was challenging for me. And tonight I just want to talk about tough times. I want to talk about tough times in our lives. Because I believe some people are going through tough times. Is there anyone that's going through a bit of a challenge? Last week I asked if you're going through a challenge, you must come back. And so I don't know if you're going through a tough time, but I want to talk about the word we heard this earlier this evening about to rejoice. God wants us to have joy in the tough times. Amen. And it's amazing, you know, that, you know, we ask the question sometimes, why do bad things happen to good people? You know, why tough times? Why do we have to go through tough times? You know, aren't we supposed to live this perfect Christian life? And if you're anything like me, you know, if things go wrong, you know, you get a bit upset because things are supposed to be perfect and in order. And, you know, we live this great life. And if something goes wrong, you get a bit shaken, isn't it so? But I want to challenge us tonight that we can think differently about challenging times in our lives. We can also ask the question, you know, why do some people struggle more than us? Or why do we struggle more than other people? You can ask these questions and sort of say, why do some people have this difficult life or this suffering life? See, there are always going to be tough times in life. That's just how life is. If you're a believer or if you're not a believer and you've lived a little while, you realize you've had some challenging times in your life, isn't it so? You hear of people dying in families. You hear of mothers driving over their kids. You know, like it happened in Bloemfontein. A 1.5-year-old kid ended up behind the vehicle of his mother driving to you know, leave the house and driving over a kid. I mean, imagine that pain. Imagine those hard times. You hear Angus Buchan's story where he rode over his nephew, 7-year-old. No, he was about 3 or 4 years old. On a tractor driving over this little nephew, his brother's son. The guy died in hospital. Imagine having to explain that. Imagine having to say sorry to your brother for killing his boy. So some people have been through hectic pain. In fact, my own brother's wife has been through the most incredible times in her life. Just to tell you a little bit about her story, She grew up on a farm outside Graaffreinet, and her mother was murdered, strangled with a piece of wire by someone on the farm. They still don't know exactly who it is, but apparently this guy's still alive, and so I think he wanted to kill the whole family. But anyway, so she lost her mother when she was 6 years old. She lost her father to cancer about 5 years ago. And then she had 6 miscarriages. You know, they have got 2 kids, and between each kid there was 3 miscarriages. I mean, 3 each. So she's had 6 miscarriages where a baby forms, you know, and then it just doesn't make it. Then you wonder about some people. Why do people go through these tough times? Why do some people have this hectic life? And some people don't. You know, why is life unfair sometimes? I don't know if we're asking these questions. I'm just asking these questions. Why tough times? Why is life so difficult sometimes? And I want to ask you, you know, is there a benefit? Is there... How have you responded to the tough times in your life? And is there really a benefit to go through a challenge? Is there any reason for it? Is there any benefit for it? But I want you this evening to think about the toughest time that you've been through in your life, the most difficult time that you've been through. Or maybe tonight you're going through the most difficult time of your life. Maybe right now you really feel life is hard. Now, I don't know what students struggle with, okay? Maybe you struggle with sin and all that stuff. Now, I'm not talking about that tonight. Okay? That's why tonight we repent. If you're sinning and life is tough because of your sin, then you need to repent of it. Okay? We shouldn't rejoice in our sin. Amen. Let's just get that straight tonight. That's not biblical to rejoice in our sin. We must repent. We must be in sackcloth and ashes of our sin. Okay? That's good to do that. But I'm just talking about tough. I'm talking about the challenges of life when studies get difficult and when, you know, life just gets tough, or you've lost someone, or your heart is broken because of a relationship that didn't work out, or you know, friends just have rejected you, or you're just feeling alone. Life is full of challenging times. Life is full of suffering and sickness and disasters and mistakes and regret. It's just part of life. But how did you handle it, or how are you handling your current situation? And are you happy with how you're handling it? Or would you say that you'd like to handle it better? Just think about that for a while. But you see, there is a response. When a challenging time comes across our lives, there's a response that we can give. We'll look at it tonight. There's a response to life's challenges. There's a response to the tough times. And it's so exciting if we can get this right. So tonight I want to look at what three writers say. And when three writers talk about the same thing in the Bible, then you must know God is trying to say something to us. Three mighty men of God, James, Paul, and Peter, and they all say the same thing. Just so amazing. You know, when God says things twice in the Bible, I think we should listen. But when he says things three times, then I think we should really obey it and not even question. So the first thing James writes here in chapter 1, verse 2, he says, consider it a great joy. Turn to someone next to you and say, great joy. Whenever you experience various trials. Now the writers here, all three of them, talking about persecution in the church, because they wrote to churches or to people who have been persecuted. Now, I just want to say this evening, as a Western church, as a church in South Africa, we just don't seem to have 100% a reference as to persecution. Okay, is any unless maybe some of you have really been persecuted, you've been to a country where you've really been ridiculed for your faith. I don't think any of us have. We haven't lived in a country where you're going to basically be killed because you believe in Jesus. So these writers are writing about specifically persecutions. But I want to say tonight that I believe in the West, our persecution and our challenges are maybe a little bit different to the people in the East and the people in the Middle East, where they're persecuted for their faith. We don't have a reference for that, but God is okay with that. And God doesn't necessarily want to bring persecution on us just so we can identify. But I believe trials in our context refers to just the challenges of life. The challenges of just living a life consecrated unto Christ. A life set apart. A life that is different from the world. And so he says, consider it a great joy. And so I believe the one thing that God wants us to do is respond to this event of having great joy despite trials. Amen. There's a response he wants here. And then secondly, in Romans 5, Paul writes the same thing. Moreover, let us also be full of joy. Turn to someone next to you and say, full of joy. Right now, he says. Now, like if you're going through a tough time, let us be full of joy. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our suffering. Amazing. And 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. As though something strange were happening to you. See, I want to say tonight, we shouldn't count it a weird thing if we as Christians go through tough times. Okay? That's what he's trying to say. If you go through a trial in life, you shouldn't be surprised. You should actually just embrace it. In fact, you're supposed to respond with great joy, being full of joy, and not to be shaken by it. I don't know how your response is to challenges, but you know, normally we respond in not good ways, okay? And we'll talk about that just now. But whatever you are, whoever you are, where you live, it doesn't matter whether you believe or not believe. If you're a human being born, you're going to have tough times, amen? That's just a given. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations, especially if you're a Christian. Then it gets even more exciting and even more challenging. You know, I think the worst thing that we can tell believers or tell people when they respond to Jesus, the worst thing we can tell them, and I think we should challenge ourselves to this, you know. Because I do it as well. You know, we want to lead people to Christ, and then we tell them, you know, you're going to have this awesome life, this amazing life. It's going to be, you know, like almost perfect. And in fact, it's the opposite. It actually becomes worse. It gets worse. Life gets even more tougher when you take a stand for Christ, isn't it so? So we should never tell people, you know, this is going to be an easy journey. And so when Danae and Anel were baptized on Thursday, you know, I told them, I said, you're taking a step for Christ now. So the devil is going to be, he's going to try to take you out. So don't get shaken when things get tough. Obviously, you don't submit to the devil and don't just accept tough times. You push through. But you just know that You've stepped out of darkness into light, and the darkness is going to come for you because we're not in a perfect world. The devil will still be completely defeated. He's been defeated, but he's still got influence. But Christ has won the battle. And that's why the writers say, tell us, all three of them say, don't be surprised, but have fullness of joy. Choose to respond. Because it will happen. An event happens in our lives, and what is the response? Great joy. With our mouths, confessing who Christ is. So why do tough times happen? Just before we carry on, why do tough times happen? Number one, our own sinful nature, which leads to bad choices or mistakes, okay? That is something we need to repent of, okay? So if you're going through a tough time because of sin in your life, like we heard now, then that's fine, but don't rejoice in that. Just repent, okay? But that's one reason why tough times could happen. The second reason is we just live in a fallen world. The other day, my wife gives me a call, okay? And she's like, or she sends me these voice notes because I was in a meeting or something. So she says, you know, you're going to be so cross with me now, but I have bumped the car. And she's now pulling out of a petrol station, and we've got quite a big car, and so she just took the turn too sharp and hit one of those things that the guys have to put there because of, you know, if someone drives into a petrol pump, it'll be quite a disaster. So they have to put these hectic things there. So she took the corner too sharp, and so the whole door was dented in, and the car needs quite a lot of repair. And so I just responded in this, you know, differently to what I would have. I just said, it's okay, just chill, because she knows, like, she doesn't want to make a mistake with our car because I'll get so upset with her and everything. And I just said, you know, it's all right. But she's like stressing, and she's so upset with herself and worried about what I'm going to say. And I just said, you know, it's okay. But what made it worse even was that we are in the process of trying to negotiate with our insurance company that we get no excess. You know, if something happens, we're going to pay no excess. And from next month, that will happen. But this month that the accident happened, we're still going to pay quite a bit of excess. Okay? Luckily, the cost of this damage is like lots more. So, you know, the excess is very small compared to the amount it's going to cost to repair this car. So praise God for insurance. Okay. Because mistakes happen. Okay, we live in a fallen world. And yes, there's some people that really got the gift of faith and they don't have any medical aid or any insurance. Well, God bless them. That's amazing. Okay. But you know, there are other people that live in this world and that make mistakes, and they can crash into you. And so, yes, you know, mistakes happen. We live in a fallen world. That's why tough times happen. And then thirdly, we get attacked from Satan. Satan does not like it, the fact that we're Christians. If you're not a Christian yet tonight, then, you know, there's an opportunity for you to step into this adventure of seeing the enemy being defeated in your life and in others' lives. But there will be attacks. Attacks will come, and the powers of darkness do not like the fact that we've taken a stand for Christ. So tough times as Christians happen just because we, and it doesn't, I'm not talking about persecution, because that's number four. The fourth thing that happens is persecution. And as I say, we don't really have a reference for that. But those are the things that cause tough times to happen in our lives. But the question tonight I want to ask you is, how are you responding to that? Because know that they're gonna come your way, or if they haven't come, I mean if they're on your life now, then respond. And if you're going through a good time, there's gonna be a challenging time. Sometime. And I wanna say there's one response. Rejoice. 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 Why do I say that? Why does God say we must rejoice in these tough times? Well, James gives us part of the answer, and he says in verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. The testing of your faith will produce endurance. Paul says it as well. Knowing that the pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. So I want to ask you tonight, if you have to choose a life partner, okay, you guys are all, most of you are single, so you're looking for the right partner. Or maybe you're looking for a ministry partner. You just want to change the world, and so you want to go on missions with someone, or you want to just do ministry with someone. You just want to do life with someone. You want to have a friend, a mighty man or a mighty woman to walk alongside you. Who would you choose? Would you choose someone that's up and down emotionally, that's unpredictable, that's, you know, in and out, and, you know, then I'm with you, then I'm not with you. You know, when times are tough, I'm just going to move on quickly, find someone else. Is that the person you're going to choose? Are you going to choose someone who pushes through? Are you going to choose someone who doesn't give up? Someone who remains committed? Someone who is steady and who's faithful? Who are you going to choose? I guess all of us will say, of course, we're going to choose the person with these characteristics. Someone who's enduring. Someone who's steadfast. So another word for endurance is steadfastness or patience even or perseverance. Amazing words. And you see, tough times produce these things in our lives. If we submit to them, if we surrender to them, then tough times produce these things in our lives. They produce what's called endurance. And you know, everyone is looking for that in people, isn't it so? And especially Christ. Christ is looking for that in His people. Christ is looking for endurance. In fact, the end of the Bible, Revelation, talks about he who endures to the end will be saved. That's scary, you know. Because we like to say, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9, you know. We love to just confess the quick fixes and then you'll be saved. But you know, the Bible says that he who endures to the end will be saved. Amen. Just read those seven letters to the churches. It's all about one word. It's called overcome. Overcome. And tough times in our lives produce this. Tough times produce this incredible power to overcome and to be overcomers. And God is not into quick fixes when it comes to our relationship with Him. God. Really want to say that. And you know, God does miracles. God does awesome miracles. I've experienced the power of God in my life, changing my life, and He does it regularly. And God saves people like this, you know. We're going to see people getting saved, you know. And Danae's awesome testimony. That's why we have outreach events. That's why we have Philip Erasmus coming. That's why we have Uncle Angus Buchan coming. Because people need that encounter with God. People need that change. And God does that. He changes our lives in the blink of an eye from darkness into life. But then we've got to walk that path. It's just the event that starts it. And that's why events are great. We love events. Shofar is very good at events. As a church, we do events. But luckily, we don't only do events. Because guess what? Then we'll just run from event to event. But you see, God wants endurance. God wants us to push through. God wants us to have this character formed in us. And as young people, and I'm still young, I classify myself as young, I need it. We all need it to endure to the end. Amen. Why are marriages falling apart these days? Why are people just walking away from church these days? Why is it just like there's just this in and out, you know? Because people don't endure. People don't push through the tough times. And we're living in a world where it's more and more quick fixes, instant, you know, cell phones. Everything's on your palm of your hand. You can get what you want. And so you're so satisfied. God is not into that. God is into relationship. He's into us overcoming. And one thing that the testing times do and trying times do is they ensure that endurance is formed in us. Isn't that amazing? When Matthew was 8 months old, just before we moved to Bloemfontein, he was sick with this, what's called an RS virus. We came here on an outreach to Bloemfontein, brought some people with us, and that weekend he was just sick. He was throwing up and he was dehydrated, and because he couldn't breathe properly, his lungs were full of junk. I don't know what happened there, but we got back to Pretoria and we had to book him into hospital, and they said, listen, your little boy's got RS virus. He's going to have to stay in this hospital for 5 nights, and there's no parents allowed to sleep over. Zuid-Afrikaanse Hospitaal in Pretoria. Very good hospital, I must say, amazing. But yeah, we have to leave our 8-month-old boy in the hospital and we have to say goodbye to him every night. You know how difficult that was? It's one of the most challenging times in my life. It wasn't long, and you know, I just realized some people lose their babies, and you know, some people lose their kids, and so it's not really, you know, for me, I don't have a comprehension of losing a child, okay? So I'm sure with those people who've had their child in hospital and for months and years and eventually the child dies, I'm sure that must be incredibly tough. I can't identify with that. But all I know is that I could identify with something of an endurance that God birthed in us there. Because yeah, we have to leave our child and it wasn't nice. And we have to trust that God is going to heal him and that he's going to be fine. And 5 days later, he could come out of hospital and we had to nebulize him a bit. And he was fine, and Yari is running around today as healthy as anything, as busy as anything. But it wasn't easy. It wasn't. But God, in that week, he just spoke to us and said, you know, I'm going to be with your child, and I just want you to trust me, and I want you to push through. You know, it's not easy, but just trust me. Trust me through this tough time. Let me form something in you. So we had people praying, and it was just amazing. But you know, in that week, God did something. God birthed in us an endurance to trust him and to go through the tough. 1 Peter 4:13a says, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. See, Jesus Christ wants us to know not only the the power of His resurrection, you know, because that's what we preach many times. And it's exciting to see the power of God's resurrection. It's amazing. The power of Christ's resurrection is awesome. But you know what Paul writes? He says, I don't only want you to know the power of Christ's resurrection. I want you to know the fellowship of His sufferings as well. And we're good at the power of His resurrection. You know, we love to see lives change. And we love to, and that's, I'm not saying we mustn't do that. We must be excited. But are we prepared to suffer with Christ? Are we prepared to enter into Christ's sufferings and have the fellowship of His sufferings conformed in us to understand something of what He had to do? Christ had to come to this earth. You know that He suffered just to come. Before He died on the cross, that wasn't necessarily the worst of His sufferings. As a man, I guess it was. But He had to come as God, become a man. That's hectic. A perfect God in heaven. You know, imagine coming from heaven to this earth. We can't understand it because we're just born on the sinful earth. But Christ had to suffer. He had to come to this earth and suffer for mankind, suffer to redeem mankind, to be tempted, to be hated, to be persecuted, to be ridiculed by people, and then spat on and thorns on His head, and nails hit through His hands and His feet. I mean, Christ suffered a lot. Christ really suffered for our redemption. And I don't think we understand it always. Let's be honest. And so tough times are good for us. Tough times help us to just allow this understanding a little bit of Christ's process and the suffering that He had to go through for 33 years. So I want to ask you this evening, will you surrender to this process of character formation? Will you allow tough times to form you in your life? And allow Christ to form that His character in you. Allow Him to really mold you. And you know, God is good. God doesn't put tough times upon us. Okay, that's not what I'm saying this evening. But God is sovereign. And God can take stuff away and He can move stuff. He is in control. And so that's why we ask so many questions. Why this? Why does this have to happen? You know, why did my wife have to hit the car and it's like, you know, I've got to pay for this damage, you know? Or why did it have to happen? Why does it cause me all this inconvenience? So we ask all these why questions. And God is saying, you know what? I just want you to trust me. I'm providing. I will provide financially. I'll provide for all the stuff that you have to redeem. Your time will be redeemed because of just the world we live in. Why do people die? Why do babies die? Why do kids die? You know, it's terrible. But Christ wants us to understand something a little bit about how He suffered just to redeem us. But then He wants to do something more in our lives. But endurance, James writes, must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. If there's anyone in here that's mature and complete, lacking nothing, please, I'd like you to pray for me, okay? I don't think there's anyone in this room, or I know that there's no one in this room that's mature and complete, lacking nothing. We all need to have endurance work in our lives, isn't that so? So it's good news tonight. Romans 5 says, an endurance, that's fortitude, develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit, here it is again, of joyful and confident hope in our salvation. God is amazing. You know, God has a plan with all these tough times. 1 Peter says, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. The first thing we need to do when it comes to challenging times, when it needs to trials and tribulations that happen to us, the first thing we need to do is to respond to the event. Amen. Respond to the event. Because it's going to happen. There's going to be a tough time coming. So how are you going to respond? You're going to respond by rejoicing with your mouth. Not being all happy and joyful. You know, all this fuzzy stuff. You don't have to have a smile on your face. But you know that God is good and you worship Him like we've done tonight. You choose to worship Him. And rejoice in the tough time. So that's the first response. The second one is you need to surrender. You need to surrender to the process that God is doing in your life, the process of formation. Surrender your heart. First thing is to respond with your mouth, then surrender with your heart, and then lastly, you need to keep your eye on the goal. What is the end goal of all of this? Keep your spiritual eyes focused on where Christ is taking you with these challenging times. He wants you to become like Him. Turn to someone next to you and say, you must become like Christ. So why all this pain and suffering? Why attacks, persecution from Satan? Why does God allow all of this? He's got a plan. His plan is this. It's the same thing that God has showed us for our small groups. We, as a leadership, we are talking about how to get our small groups very focused. Because, you know, we sometimes wonder, what is the purpose of our small groups? What is the purpose actually of church? So we're asking some questions and saying, what is the win? What, like Andy Stanley says, clarify the win. What is the win for small group? What is the win for our church? Why do we have small groups? Why do we have church? It's a little bit different for church, but for small group, we've come up with a win. God has shown me that our win for small groups is Galatians 4 verse 19. Christ must be formed. So we're gonna share this with all of you guys. And if you're a leader here tonight, maybe it's the first time you've heard this. I did send an email, but I want us to really think through this, pray through this. Christ must be formed in us. That is, and it's just discipleship. But I don't like to use the word discipleship because we've got so casual with the word discipleship. We don't even know what it means anymore. We just use it and think we're doing it, you know. So I've made it a little bit more clear. Christ must be formed in us. You know, our response to tough times is exactly that. Is Christ in you? You know the classic story of the fruit being squeezed? The lemon or the apple, if you squeeze something, you can't squeeze an apple really, but you know, an orange, if you squeeze it, you know what comes out? Just orange juice. So what comes out of Christians when they're squeezed? It's not always good juice. Fruit, nice fruit juice that other people can drink of. It's often bad words or complaining. And I'm number one. My wife rebukes me often. You know, when times are tough, then it's into complaining mode. And why aren't things perfect? Why aren't things right now? And then she'll pray for me afterwards. But first, she gives me a good rebuke, you know. It's wonderful to be married, okay? The office staff know my wife very well. She's amazing. But you know, Christ wants to form himself in us. That when we squeeze, when tough times come, when our character is a bit shaken and a bit challenged, then you know what is really going to come out. The bad stuff must come out. It's good. So if bad stuff is coming out of you through tough times, then rejoice because Christ is at least being formed in you because he needs to get other stuff out so that he can come in. Okay, he doesn't want to live with the unholiness and the sin. Okay, he can overcome it, but it quenches the spirit. And so I'm excited because, you know, there's another win for church and we'll for our church services now on a Sunday. There's another win. We'll give you that at a later time. But for our small groups and for our fellowship and for where we're going as a church, I believe Christ must be formed in us. And so tough times, I believe, are one of the ways that God uses to form himself in us. Isn't that amazing? So guess what? We can rejoice. We can get excited. We can keep our eyes on the ultimate goal because tough times will bring us to this place of Christ being formed in us. So we're going to end off now. Let's look at the benefits of tough times. Number one, they test our character and our revelation of God. Now, I saw Benny at the Buddha Mark on Saturday morning, and I felt a bit sorry for Benny because Benny, we were having coffee and pancakes together, and then Benny had to say goodbye because he's got to go and study. So Hester and I were like, you know, we are so glad that we don't have to study anymore. And I know Benny's an amazing, diligent student, and lots of you are. You know, studying is good, you know, but at the end of your studies, what happens? What do you have to go through at the end of your studies to make sure you've studied well? It's called an examination. Now, who's excited about exams? Come. Benny's excited about exams because he has studied, you see. If you don't study, exams are like, oh, I'm not going to make this. It's like this rejection. I'm a failure. You know, you hate exams. But you see, challenging times are exactly that. Challenging times are like exams. Tough times are exactly that. They're an examination of where is your character with God at the moment? And where is your revelation of God? And of his goodness and of his provision and of his presence in your life, because tough time is a very good test, you know, because we as Christians, we're great when times are good, when people are getting saved and lives are changing and we're feeling good and we're moving in the spirit, then you know, that's not really a test of our true character, let's be honest, because all of us can get excited when things are going well, but when things are going tough, that's the examination that you need to pass. Number two, they develop character, as we've just spoken. They develop maturity and Christ-likeness in us. That's a time to rejoice. So I want to say, even in number one, rejoice in number one, because at least, you know, if you don't have an exam, you don't know how good you are. You don't know if you studied or not. So exams are a blessing. I want you guys to see exams a bit different. You want to be tested. You know, you want to go through that driver's license test because you want to be able to drive. It's not about the test or even passing. You just want to drive. You want to have a job one day. You want to have a career. You want to operate in your gifting and your calling. So exams are great. So rejoice in the fact that you need to test where you are. And if you're not at a good place, if you fail, that's also fine. You must just come to a place of passing. Do it again, that you can endure, that you can overcome, that you can get to the place of maturity. So secondly, maturity, we've talked about that. Then number three, tough times are an incredible opportunity for witnessing. We need to be witnesses. And you know, there's no better time than when you're supposed to be down and out. You're supposed to be depressed in your bed. You're supposed to be like wanting to kill yourself. But you are praising God. You are joyful in God's goodness. In the Stellenbosch church, the friends of ours lost their baby when the baby was born dead. I wasn't there and I didn't know about it. But I just know a testimony of where that was their first kid, and they just, you know, imagine that pain of you expecting this child and the child is born dead. But there was this time when they just bowed down in that hospital and just worshipped and said, God, we don't understand. We don't know what happened and why, but Lord, we worship you. We worship you. We know you're good. And those are the times when people must look and think, these people are dead. They're supposed to be like cursing and getting all upset and, yes, we cry and we mourn, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying, you know, but there's this time when you rejoice because you know who God is. And you know the eternity that you're going to, and life is tough, but you know God is in control. And it's in those opportunities, those tough times that you're going through, that you can witness for God. You can be an incredible witness for God. And the world can look and see, sure, I want this. I want this joy. I want this life, because something is different. So I don't know, maybe it's even the smallest tough time, but I want for all of us to be witnesses that when we're going through a tough time, we're not going to hide away and run away and get to some corner on our own. We must be out there witnessing and saying God is good despite this. And people are going to ask you, but aren't you supposed to be depressed? Aren't you supposed to be down now? You know, you failed your test or this. No, I'm going to rejoice. Don't rejoice if you didn't study. Okay, then you should also say sorry to God and to your parents for wasting their money. But if you've done your best and for something happened and you failed, or the lecturer was bad to you, or you just, you know, you can rejoice in those tough times. You can rejoice in your suffering and be a witness to Christ. And then lastly, you're supposed to glorify Him. The ultimate purpose for living and rejoicing in tough times is simply for this. In fact, the ultimate purpose for why Christ must be formed in us is not so that Christ can be formed in us. The purpose is to glorify the Father. Last scripture this evening before we pray. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So I believe, guys, that as a church and as individuals, we should be witnessing about the glory of God. And you know, for me, the best time to rejoice is when it's not that. The most amazing testimony is when we can rejoice in tough times, when we can rejoice when life hits us with a bit of a bad curveball or a bit of a one we didn't expect. And then we can say like Peter, you know, we shouldn't actually be surprised. Life is just life. Life is fallen. The world is fallen. We are fallen people, but we know a God who's perfect. And then we can rejoice and respond by rejoicing. First of all, with our mouths, confessing and saying, you know, God, this event happened, but I'm gonna choose to rejoice now. I'm going to confess with my mouth. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to start to ask a lot of questions. I'm just going to rejoice. And then at the same time, we surrender our hearts to the process. And we say, God, however long this is going to take, Lord, I want you to be formed in me. I want endurance. I want overcoming. And then lastly, we know, keep our eyes on the goal, and we know Christ must ultimately be formed in us so that we can glorify Him. Guys, this is simple. This is the gospel. This is what we're living for. So let's choose to rejoice in our tough times. Let's make a choice to rejoice when times are tough. Amen? Let's make a choice to rejoice when TT comes, trial, tribulation, tough times. Can I have an amen? Let's close our eyes and pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are so good, God. We just cannot comprehend, Lord, how good you are. You choose, Lord, even to use challenges and the trials and the tribulations. Lord, you choose to use difficult and hard times in our lives to glorify yourself. And we thank you that only you can do this, Lord, because we realize as people, God, we just don't have the natural ability, Lord, to rejoice when things are difficult. We just don't have it in us, Lord, but you birth it in us, God. You form yourself in us, God. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for every person sitting here, Lord. I thank you that you know every challenge and every struggle, every question, Lord, that is being asked even right now. Why is life unfair? Why do I have this deal or that deal? Why do these difficult times seem to happen and some people seem to have it so smooth? Lord, I pray that tonight we won't ask any more questions. We will simply obey your word, which says that, Lord, we can rejoice. It doesn't matter how tough it is. So, Lord, I pray for hearts here this evening. I pray for mouths, Lord. I pray for eyes to focus on what you want to do through these challenges. You want to form yourself in us. You want to be glorified. So we choose to rejoice. Lord, I pray that even if we're going through an amazing time of blessing and a time of peace and a time where times are good, Lord, I pray that we will pray for those who aren't going through good times, Lord. And I pray that we will also remember, Lord, that when the challenges hit, Lord, that we can be ready for them, Lord, that we can rejoice. And the first thing that will come out of us, Lord, will be just glorifying God, because God is in control. God is seated on the throne. So, Lord, I pray that we'd count the cost, Lord, that we'd see also where we are at this moment, Lord. We'd look back on those tough times in the past and realize, sure, but we didn't handle them so well because we walked away from friends and relationships, and we just even wanted to walk away from you because we were so hurt and offended by situations and circumstances. Lord, the next time, God, we choose to do it differently. We choose to rejoice, God, to know that you're incredible, you're forming yourself. We're going to pray for each other now in groups of two, but I want you to be honest. If you're struggling here this evening, just want you to raise your hand quickly, because I want to pray for you specifically. I'm not going to call you forward, but I want to pray that you really receive God's revelation, that you will rejoice in Him. Is there anyone that's really going through a tough time now? I want you to be honest, even if it's a small little thing. You're really challenged by life, or challenged by circumstances, or challenged just by people, even God at times is sometimes a challenge to be a Christian. And if you're feeling like that, then just raise your hand. I'd love you to just respond to God now tonight, because I want God to come and meet you right there. It's so important that you're honest. Thanks for all those hands. You guys can lower your hands again. I want you to choose. You guys that have put up your hand, and you're going to pray with the person next to you. Or if you don't have someone, please come forward. I'd love to pray with you. But you're going to choose to rejoice tonight. You're going to confess that prayer need that you have. Maybe you did it already. I want you to choose to rejoice in those challenges. Then to ask God, God, what are you doing through this? What do you want to do through this stuff? God, whatever you want to do, I rejoice, because you want to do something. You want to ultimately glorify yourself. So Lord, I embrace it. Don't you just do that in your heart right now? Just choose to do that before you pray with the person. And then maybe you realize that you've got an incorrect perception of tough times. You always thought tough times were like, oh man, I'm so feeling so bad for myself, and now I'm like, I'm just this worm and this means nothing. God is challenging your perception. Tonight He's saying that it's time to embrace challenges. It's time to embrace it when life gets a bit tough. your perception has been changed, then I want you also to thank God for changing your perception, to recognize that. And maybe even He hasn't changed it yet and you still have lots of questions. Ask God to change your perception simply because of the Word tonight, because it is challenging. You know, tell someone who's just lost a child or lost a loved one to rejoice. It's not simple. And I'm not saying it's simple. I'm saying it is possible, and I'm saying that God wants to do something through that tough time. He doesn't want to just waste that tough time. He wants you to become like Him. So it doesn't matter how tough, and I can't identify with lots of tough times that some people have had. So I'm not saying I do. I'm just saying what the Word says. I'm just a messenger tonight. But I want you to really ask God to change your perception of difficult times. As a Christian, as a believer, I can tell you it's going to set you free. God is going to give you joy. Life is going to make so much more sense with God. So I want you to pray together in groups of two right now. Find someone that you can pray with, and then just share what God is showing you. Just pray for each other. Pray for those needs, those challenges. If you don't have anything, then just pray for each other as the Spirit leads. But I want you to specifically ask the person, what is God? Is there something that's challenging in your life? I want to pray with you for it.